Chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. We are making our way through the book of Habakkuk, and now we're coming to the very end of chapter number 2. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be in chapter 3. And so I want to encourage you with this, as Habakkuk the prophet knows, as he is standing on the very eve of captivity, this outside foreign nation is coming and they are going to be taken away. He knows what's coming. And here is a man that's hungry for God to do a work. He's hungry for God to revive his people. But as he is preaching and praying and prophesying, we find some very interesting things that Habakkuk says. And I want us to come to the very end of chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 18. Habakkuk 2, verse 18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, chapter 2 and these verses that we notice here, Habakkuk the prophet is dealing with these false gods. Now understand something. The children of Judah have allowed the influence of these false gods upon their own life. They have called unto these false gods that cannot answer. And I know what we may say today. We might think, well, preacher, this really doesn't have a lot of relevance to us. Pastor, we're not bowing down to some strange god. We are not worshiping some god. That may be so, but I want us to understand something, that although we may not be looking to an image, I do believe that even Christians are even serving gods that cannot answer. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is calling on gods that cannot answer. Now, the Bible is very clear that these gods cannot answer them. But, brethren, let's understand that America has become a garden of strange gods. In fact, it has been reported that there are as many as 800 non-conventional religions that are now being practiced in America. We have moved from just the materialistic thinking, where all that mattered was money and materialistic gain, into an age of mysticism. It's called the New Age, and really it's not new at all. It's just a revival of this old heathen worship is what it really is. In fact, I think we would be very surprised that even business executives today that have crystals that are on their desk, crystals that are meant to give them energy, to give them power, and I read up on this because I was pretty amazed at this. In fact, do you know you can even go into stores? There's even a store, I believe, in West Liberty that you can go by and you can buy crystals. Crystals to help you. In fact, I did a little research about the crystals. And now, I am not trying to be funny about this, all right? I'm really not. But it's pretty humorous to me when we talk about these gods. In fact, if you buy crystals to help you, you have to take care of the crystal. Did you know that? You don't feed it because it can't eat anything, but you do have to take care. And I'm not kidding you about that. There are three things that you have to do with the crystal today. You have to charge the crystal. And I was like, what? It has a battery or something? But it has nothing to do with that. You have to cleanse the crystal. And we're not talking about outward cleansing. And you have to program the crystal. All right? You have to do all of this. The charging the crystal, listen to this, and this is what they say, means you are giving it an energy boost. Now, what is the energy? Well, it is something about having a crystal helps to do away with the negative energy that might be in your room or might be with a staff or what it may be. Hey, just come to kindergarten. We have lots of energy there, all right? You know? It's both positive and negative, all right? And they're colliding at the same time, you know? But literally, this, you have to charge the crystal. And by charging your crystal, this is what it says, you are maintaining the energy of the crystal. You have to cleanse the crystal. You have to remove unwanted energy that has been absorbed by the crystal. By the way, there is a whole slew of things to do about cleansing the crystal. I mean, you have to bathe it. You have to put it in the sun. Some of them, you have to bury the crystal. It is amazing what people are doing today, calling on gods that cannot answer. You have to program the crystal. Now listen to this. Programming crystal means setting a particular intention for what you want the crystal to do. In fact, it goes on to talk about the different kinds of crystals. And step number one is choosing the right crystal. And choose a crystal that you feel drawn to, all right? I'm kind of drawn to Chick-fil-A crystals, all right? So I don't know where those are. But number two, choose a crystal based on what you are struggling with. Now, this is where it gets into the dependence part. For instance, if you're struggling with anxiety, there's a crystal for that. If you're struggling with wealth, there's a crystal to help you with your wealth, to help you pay off your debts. If you're struggling with your marriage, there's a crystal for that. Brethren, do you understand that we are living in a society like that to where people are calling on gods that cannot answer? Gods that will not answer. But let's be very clear today. You may say, well, preacher, I don't have any crystals in my home, and I don't cleanse them or program them or seek energy from them or look to them for anything. But I wonder how many things that we turn to instead of God. I wonder if we turn to, you know, many people turn to alcohol instead of God. Some people turn to drugs and instead of God. Some people turn to pornography instead of God. Some people turn to dependence on friendships instead of God. Friendships are wonderful and a blessing, but if you turn and run to someone instead of running to God, you are calling on gods that cannot answer. I wonder, do you turn to just an absorbent time with the internet or binge watching television because you're depressed and down? Can I tell you something? We are calling on gods that cannot answer. I think if we would get really honest before God and allow the Lord to deal with us, I think that we would find that there are areas in all of our life, including mine, that we turn to instead of turning to the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's go to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm chapter 115, and I want you to see this. Now, here is Habakkuk, and he's talking about these gods that cannot answer. And you know, I can almost, as a Christian, I can dismiss these things and say, you know, that's not for me. But what are the gods in my life? What are the gods in my life? I've heard about Christians. I'm not speaking here. And I think so often when I give illustrations, people want to know who I'm talking about in church. And it is not that way. But can I tell you something? I've heard of Christians that are going through tough times and they'll just go out and buy something and that seems to help them. There's nothing wrong with you buying something that you need or something even that you want. But if you turn to that to ease the pain and the sorrow of what you are going through, you're calling on a God that cannot answer. I wonder if instead of turning to God in prayer, we turn to someone for counsel. Now, counsel is wonderful. I seek counsel, and I think it's a good thing. The Bible says there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. But can I tell you something? That man or woman that you go to, can I tell you, they need God just like you need God. They don't know the future. They do not know all the details. They can give you some help and counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that is the first person that we turn to instead of God, are we calling on gods that cannot answer? Psalm 115, let's read this in verse number 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. Now look at this. So is every one that trusteth in them. God says, you are like the false gods if you trust in a false god. You are getting no answer, no help, no encouragement. Let's read on here. It says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Brethren, can I tell you, your help and your shield, the one who protects you, the one who provides for you, is not in something that man can provide. It is not in some place that we can turn to. I'm all for rest. I'm all for you taking a vacation and having time away. That's needful and that is good and helpful. But if that is what we turn to find relief, and that is what we turn to find encouragement and strength, I'm sorry, but I believe we're turning to gods that cannot answer. I thank God for my precious wife. I love her. I don't know that I can explain how much I love her. But can I tell you something? She is not my God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I mean this. I mean that as a husband, husbands can almost depend on their wives to the point to where they look to their wife for all their encouragement. They look to their wife for all the answers and all of that. And almost sometimes a man can think, man, I'll tell you, I just need to get married and that's my hope and all of that. Brethren, can I tell you something? We have a God. He is our hope. He is our shield. He is our protector. He is the only one that can meet our needs. And by the way, no woman and no man can live under the thought that she is supposed to or he is supposed to totally complete them and meet their every need. No human being on earth can do that for you and me. In fact, I believe God will give you enough of disappointment in people to cause you to not trust in man, but to put your confidence in the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that we are not to put our confidence in man. We are not to put our trust in man. We are to put our confidence in the God who made heaven and earth. And brethren, I want us to be very honest with the Lord tonight. I want us, you say, well, preacher, I don't have crystals in my home. I don't do that. But could there be that there are things in our life that we don't even recognize that we are turning to instead of God? We are turning to, we are relying upon. They have become faulty reliances in our lives to where we are not calling unto God. Years ago, when my wife and I were first married, I remember leaving Knoxville, Tennessee, and boy, that was hard to do. And we went to Illinois, and that's where God led us. But I remember when any time I had, you know, just a difficult time and all of that, I found myself picking up the phone and just calling my dad. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with calling my dad. I still call my dad and talk with him. You know what? One day the Holy Spirit dealt with me about that I was quicker to call my dad than God. In fact, I spent a lot of time talking to my dad and very few moments talking to God. I was quick to seek man's help, and that's good in its place. But brethren, at the end of the day, we must know that no man on earth can give us the counsel that God can give us. No man on earth can give us the wisdom that God can give us. No man on earth can give us the help and the comfort and the strength. We must learn as God's people to not call on gods that cannot answer, but to call on the one and true living God. In fact, Habakkuk here, he is the one who is standing on the eve of captivity. By the way, the name Habakkuk means one who embraces. I love that name because Habakkuk is embracing God. And can I just tell you this? We must come to the place in life that we are clinging to God. We are embracing God. We are drawing nigh to God, and He's promised to draw nigh to us, that God is the answer. God is the hope. God is the solution. God is the one. And if we say tonight, well, preacher, I can't see God, that's where the life of faith has to enter in, to where we come to God in His Word. By the way, do you know that He still speaks through His Word? He will speak to you. He will guide you and give you direction and give you counsel. Yes, God does use individuals. God has used many people in my life to help me and encourage me. But brethren, we must come to the place to where we see that God is the one and true living God, and He's the one that we turn to. Habakkuk is embracing the Lord. He is seeking an answer from the Lord. And brethren, so many people are trusting in things that cannot answer. Now, we are using ads right now we did that for Easter ads and all of that. But you know what? It's a sad thing to me that the statistic of people that spend how many hours on Facebook, they say the average person, now that's just a statistic out there, spends at least 3 hours a day on Facebook. I'm just amazed by that. And could it be that there are some people, they get discouraged, they get down, and maybe they just scroll and they look to social media, they look to something to bring a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness in their life. They are calling on gods that cannot answer. And look, that's not like bowing down to some image. That's not necessarily like having a crystal in your home, but it's the same ideal that our trust and dependence is on things or people rather than on God. Brethren, no matter how sincere our confidence may be in certain things, no matter how long we place our trust in those things, if we depend upon them, we're calling on gods that cannot answer. By the way, do you understand today that, I mean, let's just be honest, we can have people that come into corporate places today and lecture on how office managers should meditate and teach their employees to meditate and call on heathen gods, but don't mention the name of Jesus Christ because that's not allowed. Isn't that not amazing today? You see what the devil is doing? The devil is infiltrating our businesses and infiltrating our homes, and he's infiltrating. This is not India. And my son and I were in India, and I'll tell you, when you're in the airport, you can buy hundreds of gods there. I mean, you can, just right there, you can buy them. They have eyes, but they see not. They have mouths, but they hear not. But listen, you try to do anything with those gods that they worship, and it's dangerous. In fact, I was kidding with the pastor there because India has snakes, and they're not nice snakes, all right? Let me tell you that, all right? You know, we're talking about the king cobra. We're talking about all that kind of stuff. And I was just kidding, and I said, boy, the only kind of snake I like is a dead snake. And he looked at me, and he said, Pastor, if you kill a king cobra in India, you will be imprisoned for that. Now, think about that just for a minute, because they worship that. They worship it. Brethren, we have become a nation that as worshiping gods that cannot answer. By the way, I believe there's probably Christians that even turn to the horoscope. Maybe in the newspaper, maybe you don't get that much more, but they look at the horoscope. They're stargazers. They look to those to kind of give them direction in life, to help them to find out what they are supposed to do. They are calling on gods that cannot answer. In fact, I believe that in a sense, we've almost created a vacuum in our lives. And we've opened ourselves up. Brethren, if you open yourself up to trusting or depending on some crystal or some ointment or some spice or something like that to help the energy in the home and to help you to rest and help you not have so much anxiety, you're opening yourself up to more of what the devil has in plan for you. You're calling on gods that cannot answer. In fact, we live in a land that really is full of pantheism. You know what pantheism is? It's a belief that God is in everything and in everybody, and ultimately everyone's a God. That's exactly what pantheism teaches. But the Bible tells us that we must, as God's people, turn to the God who can only answer us, to depend on God and trust in Him. Now, tonight, I want to give you some simple thoughts. I want to give you five different tests, and we'll be very quickly about this. A test about how to know who your gods are. Who is your God today? You say, well, preacher, my God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that I trust and depend upon. But let's find out tonight. In fact, brethren, we need a revival in our land of people turning to God. A people clinging to God and embracing God. Number one, here's the test tonight. Number one, the test of devotion. Now, where are our gods today? Let us take the test of devotion. The test of devotion means this: of what are we working for? What are we living for? What are you devoted to? In fact, can you define what you are working for today? You may say, well, I'm working to get money. Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong. We have to have money to survive and money to buy food and housing and clothing and all of that. But it should go further than that. What do we plan to do with the money that God gives us? Brethren, as Christians, we should use our money to honor the Lord, to honor God's word, to live the right kind of life, to provide for our families. We should use the money God gives us to further the cause of Jesus Christ. But if we are living just to get money, and in a sense, by the way, you can tell about some men that they live for money. Money, in a sense, has become their God. They're calling on a God that cannot answer. If to attain money is the goal, then your devotion is to a God that cannot answer. You know, and by the way, look, I love sports. I mean, I love them probably more than a lot of people in here do. I enjoy them. I love watching Ohio State Buckeyes, I'm telling you. You know, we have to live in this dearth now, and we have to wait till September until they play again, you know. And, I love it. I love it. I think it's wonderful. But you know what I've always thought? And I've gone to games before with me and my boys. And sometimes we sit there and freeze half to death, you know, watching a football game. We've sat there before and got sunburned, you know, watching the game. But it's okay. And you spend all this money, you know, to get a soda. It's about $30, I think, you know. I'm just kidding. But it's close, you know. And while you're there, you might as well get popcorn and, you know, nachos and cheese and all that kind of stuff. But you know what we do and what I've done? We're like, hey, this is it. This is about the game. But are we not willing to sacrifice for Jesus Christ? I've seen people sit in football games and it's snowing and it has to be miserable conditions, but they just can't seem to come to church because they're too tired. And you know what I say to myself? What are we devoted to? What are we devoted to? When I played sports, I'm going to tell you something, I was devoted to that. I mean, I worked hard at that. I remember, man, I loved when I played soccer if it rained. Man, it was slide tackle city if it rained, you know. Time to take someone out, you know. And I remember practicing in the rain. But I also remember going to the house of God and worshiping the Lord. There's nothing wrong with our devotion to something. But if we are more devoted to our work, our occupation, than we are to the cause of Christ, we're calling on gods that cannot answer. Number two, here's another test. The test of delight. Now, this is very important. Because the Bible tells us in Psalms 37, you don't have to turn there, but let me read Psalms 37:4. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, delight has to do with what pleases us. Now, folks, look, there's lots of things that we can delight in, okay? I mean, there's lots of things. I delight in lots of different things, all right? I delight in the sun, if it will ever shine, all right? I delight in that. I delight in the warm temperatures, and I delight in my family. There's nothing wrong. I should love my family. In fact, Christ has commanded me to love my wife as He loves the church. That is a Calvary love. In fact, it's an impossible love without the help of the Holy Spirit. So, is it wrong to delight in my family? But brethren, if we put our family before God, then we're calling on a God that cannot answer. If you're more devoted to your family than you are to Jesus Christ, then you're calling on a God that cannot answer. You know, the only way some people can be happy is to be involved in certain things, and they have to have those things. You know, years ago when we moved here, we had to put a lot of our stuff in storage because we didn't have enough room to put things. And you know what? I was amazed what I found out. You can live on a whole lot less than what you think you can. Have you ever found that to be true? All the things that we think we need or think we have to have, you really don't have to have them when it comes right down to it. In fact, if our delight is in the next newest thing, and there's nothing wrong, God has given us richly all things to enjoy, and He's blessed you and me. We are blessed people tonight, and we ought to thank God for His blessings. But if we find no delight in church, and we find no delight in prayer, and we find no delight in the Word of God, and we find no delight in telling others of Jesus Christ, and we find greater delight in other things, then we are calling on gods that cannot answer. Our delight, the joy of our heart. In fact, the Bible says that in Psalm 16:11, He said, "In thy presence is what of joy? Fullness of joy." In thy presence, in the presence of God. Brethren, our delight tonight. So we find the test of delight. We find the test of, as far as we think about devotion. But number three, the test of dependence. Now, brethren, tonight, on what do you depend? On what do you trust? And you know, I have asked the Lord to help me with this. I am a pastor, but my identity of life should not be that I'm a pastor. Can I? You say, "Well, preacher, what are you?" All right. Sometimes I don't know, you know. But no, that should not. Can I tell you what I am? I am a child of God. That's really my identity. I am beloved of my Heavenly Father. That's my real identity. It's not in what I do. Whenever I go around this town, I'm grateful for that. I can go about anywhere and people say, "Hey, Pastor, good to see you." And I'm thankful for that. I love being a pastor. God's called me to be a pastor. But what's going to happen one day when the health does not allow me to be a pastor? If that is what I depend on to give me joy and fulfillment in life, then I'm coming to a place of great trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Our dependence must be on the Lord. And going back to this morning, He never changes. He is the God that changes, not this Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And brethren, if what we depend on to find our joy, to find our happiness, is something of this world or something that we can do, something that we enjoy doing. And listen, I love working. I love serving the Lord. But what happens when all of those things are taken away? If we find no joy in just fellowship with Christ, if we find no joy in just walking with the Lord, can I tell you something? Nobody can take away your relationship with Jesus Christ. And nobody can take away your fellowship with Him. Nobody can rob you of that. No amount of health, no amount of adverse circumstances can take that away. The test of dependence. Number four, the test of decision. You say, "Now, what do you mean by that?" Well, brethren, what do we depend on to guide us? What do we depend on when we are seeking to make decisions? Brethren, we must be guided by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. But if we are guided just by our own reasoning, that's faulty. If we're guided by the reasoning of the world, that is very faulty. And if we're guided on what this is going to help me be a better person, this is going to promote me, listen, that's dangerous. We're calling on gods that cannot answer. I know of people that read the horoscope to give them guidance and to give them direction. Brethren, if you do that, you're making an idol out of that. What we should allow to guide us and to help us with decisions in life is as we seek the Lord and the Word of God. Number five, the last thing, is the test of destiny. Now, what is this? This is what we are looking forward to. The test of destiny. Now look, I pray that you do not misunderstand anything that I'm saying here tonight. I pray that you are preparing for the future. And I'm speaking of retirement and trying to set aside money. The Bible does talk about that, you know? I mean, the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The ant stores up for what is coming. There's nothing wrong with that. That is biblical and right. But if all we are living for is to take a break and to just rest, then that's a wrong test of destiny. Are we looking to lay up any treasure in heaven? In fact, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And what does it say? Where moth and rust doth corrupt. It's not that it maybe will corrupt. It will corrupt. Where thieves break through and steal. Brethren, God says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God is not against the treasures on earth. But if our mindset is only about the here and now, it is not about eternity. Someone once said, we ought to prepare for eternity because we're going to be there a long time. Have you ever thought about that? Relatively, we are on earth a very short time. But for eternity, brethren, let us live here on earth with the ideal of our destiny in mind, that this is not the end. I am going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what I can do for Christ here and now, because one day I'm going to meet Jesus face to face. Brethren, could it be that we are calling on gods that cannot answer? In closing, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you would please. I'd like to give you a New Testament passage of what we're talking about here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want us to look at what the Bible has to say here. Brethren, there is coming a day in all of our lives when something will happen and things that you thought were important are no longer that important. Things that you've valued and treasured, now those things do not matter. Because now what you understand is that things that really should have mattered, those are what matter the most. We come to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want you to see something that I think is very important. Let's begin in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Look at this. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And look at this. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now I want you to remember that phrase. God tells us that we are to cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You say, well, preacher, what is the high thing? I'll tell you, anything that we turn to other than Jesus Christ to bring fulfillment, to bring satisfaction in our life, is a high thing. Can I tell you what it is? It's a God that cannot answer. It cannot answer. It will not help. In fact, do you know that I believe it must be very frustrating for people who turn to crystals, who turn to something that will never satisfy them. They have to become so miserable and so frustrated and almost disillusioned in life because they'll never find help and hope outside of Jesus Christ. So we are to cast down. Let's ask the Spirit of God tonight to show us what we have substituted for what only God can do. By the way, do you know that God made all of us as worshipers? We are worshipers tonight. You can take some far distant tribe in a land that has no real modern civilization, and you know what you will find? They worship something. Oh yeah, they do. They worship something. They find something to worship. They find something to devote themselves to. They find something to depend upon. They find something to delight in. They found a God. So guess what? All of us tonight, including your pastor, I'm a worshiper. You are a worshiper. And if we do not worship God, then we will worship something else. We are going to worship something. So let's take the test tonight. Are you delighting in something other than God to bring you true joy and fulfillment? During times of discouragement and anxiety and sorrow, do you turn to something else other than God? I'm not saying we should not turn to times of rest and people that can encourage us and help us, but it should be that our God is the one that we turn to. Brethren, there are gods that cannot answer. Let's turn to the one who still answers prayer. In fact, he said, call unto me and I will what? Answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure need you tonight. I thank you for your precious word, and I thank you, Lord, that your word helps us. Lord, you know what we are prone to. We are prone to turning to anything other than Jesus. We are prone to depending on anything other than you. Help us, Lord, tonight. Guide us in this service, and Lord, minister to our hearts. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, would you please? I'm just going to ask the piano to begin to play tonight.